It is time for Arthur Schwartz to make his appearance, which we always love on a Monday morning. We talk about food, and we just push a button and voila, instant Arthur. Good morning, Arthur.
Excuse me, easy for you to say. So it's Halloween, as you pointed out, but I didn't need pointing it out. The Food Network has turned into the Halloween station about 2 weeks ago.
I
just checked it out on the guide this morning to see. Well, you know, it's wall-to-wall Halloween baking. I don't know who Halloween bakes, not me. I always thought candy was the main food event on Halloween. But anyway, I watch too much. Let's start with I watch too much TV. And I'm trying to wean myself away from the big tube. There's no food worth watching on either the Food Network or the Cooking Network, or those are the only two networks I really get with food. I guess on the weekend, the public TV has some food stuff that might be worthwhile. I don't watch it. However, my guilty pleasure lately, starting out to get away from political news, is TikTok. Now, what got me going on TikTok was I know a family that is very friendly with the actress Renee Taylor, and they've actually been in Renee's TikTok videos. And Renee, at age 90, is doing TikTok videos. And I thought, well, first of all, Renee is very funny. I know Renee, and I was thrilled to see her on TikTok. And I started following Renee Taylor, and then this one and that one. And they have the best algorithms on TikTok, because if you like something, you get more of it immediately, like instantly. So I guess I must have clicked on or liked a cooking video, and all of a sudden, I'm getting all this cooking stuff that I'm loving, Marshall, because it brings me back to my early days when I learned how to cook many different cuisines from mamas and grandmas on Long Island when I was a reporter at Newsday. That was sort of my job. And I loved it because I learned so much. Now, on TikTok, you've got a lot of real people showing their food, whether it's just their homemade food, and I have to say nobody's been using onion salt or garlic salt in my TikTok feed, or they're actually cooking teachers sort of promoting themselves by doing TikTok lessons. I'm thrilled. So I've gotten several recipes off of TikTok, one that I'm going to make later today and one that I made already this morning. So I bought because I found this recipe on TikTok for two-ingredient, practically instant Indian naan, which is a bread, flatbread, N-A-A-N. I see in my supermarket you can buy it in a cellophane bag, and I guess you reheat it when you get it home. But I thought, well, this could be fun. So I bought myself a box of self-rising flour, which is the one of the two essential ingredients. If you've never worked with self-rising flour, there are only two brands that I know of. Presto is what I bought, and Swansdown is the other one. I think they're pretty much the same. It's cake flour, which is a soft flour, a finely milled flour. Not all purpose. It's fine. It's for cakes. It's called cake flour. And also biscuits. You want to use cake flour when you want to make a nice, fluffy, southern-style biscuit. Anyway, I bought myself a box of Presto cake flour, and I'm going to play with it. The first thing I did already this morning was I mixed up this naan. It's just one cup of cake flour, well, self-rising flour, I should say, one cup of self-rising flour, and one cup of 5% Greek yogurt. By the way, 5% fat yogurt is not going to kill you. And that's, in this case, and we always have it in the house. That's our go-to yogurt. Well, I like actually regular yogurt as well. Bob's go-to yogurt is 5% fat Greek yogurt. Anyway, one cup of that, one cup of flour. I was skeptical that these proportions were going to work, and in fact, they worked. However, I did need to put down, I would say, a significant amount of flour on my counter to roll out the dough. I let the dough sit for 15, 20 minutes. Now it's been sitting, I don't know, probably close to a half an hour, and I'm going to make another one. But I had to make at least one before I got on the air. I'm going to have my neighbor, friend, Vishali, who is Indian, taste this naan and tell me if she ever tasted any naan that was like this naan. I have not, but she may have. It is a little bit sour because you're making it with yogurt. It was fluffy. I rolled it out to, an eighth of an inch thick. And by the way, using the instructions from TikTok, I used a wine bottle to roll it out because I didn't want to go dig for my rolling pin, which I haven't used in a while, at the back of the closet. I know where it is, but it requires a little excavation. So I thought, I'll use the wine bottle. By the way, we have a famous, famous pizzeria here in Brooklyn, Lucali, that the owner only rolls out the dough with wine bottles. He swears that adds to the quality of the pizza. I think it's more like his grandmother did it with a wine bottle, so he's doing it that way. Anyway, I did this with a wine bottle, and I put it in a very hot cast iron skillet, and I let it cook until the first side down was blotched with a little brown, and then I flipped it over, and I let the second side cook. By the way, no sticking here. I was amazed. Nothing. In a dry skillet, no sticking. And then I flipped it over one more time just to make sure. No, I had a little odd-shaped kind of non-bread. So I had a little tail on it. So I, after the second flip, after a minute or two, I tasted the tail. And it seemed to be cooked. So I flipped it over one more time. Blotch was a little bit darker brown, and that was it. Now, my TikTok non-instructions told me to brush this with melted butter and garlic. But it's early in the morning, and I know that Mr. Harnett, when he gets up, is not going to want to walk into a kitchen smelling of garlic. So the second one I make, I'm going to just use butter, and then I'll save the rest of the dough for this afternoon and try the garlic thing. Anyway, I am really enjoying TikTok for other reasons, by the way, besides learning how to make naan. Did you know? Now, you keep up with these things, Marshall, that this has been, today's the 31st, the end of the month, Filipino Heritage Month?
I didn't know it was Filipino.
Let me say that every week I learn about another day or week or month that I'm supposed to acknowledge food-wise, and I've missed it on Mondays. I don't know what today is. It's bound to be something, but because every day seems to be something. But this was Filipino Heritage Month, and several Filipinos who know how to cook have been on TikTok showing us their favorite or, you know, most classic Filipino recipes. So, of course, I'm going to have to make some adobo, Filipino adobo, this week because that got my mouth watering. And then there's a Cambodian woman on, this I don't get. She's wonderful. She teaches you simple, homey Cambodian recipes. She's always saying, oh, this is really easy and simple. Yeah, it is if you have the right pantry to make Cambodian food, which I'm always missing a couple of ingredients, or it's just too many ingredients. Anyway, she's a terrific teacher. But the other day she got on and she said, I'm not going to pay attention to the haters. Now, who could hate a nice, by the way, nice-looking Cambodian woman who teaches Cambodian cooking on TikTok? Who could hate her? But that's where we live now.
It's social media. You're exactly right. That's where we live.
You know, it's horrible. I'm glad she said, I'm just not going to pay attention. And then one of my favorite internet cooking series, let's call it, is now on TikTok also. The Pasta Grannies. Do you ever watch the Pasta Grannies?
No.
Well, you should.
Okay.
So, somebody, whoever runs Pasta Grannies, goes all around Italy, all over Italy, and videotapes old women making pasta. And, of course, the condimenti, the sauce, or the seasoning that goes on that particular pasta. And some of them are very esoteric pastas. I mean, only made in some corner of Abruzzo, like that. I'm waiting for the one that I want to learn is there's a pasta, actually from Abruzzo, made with only egg whites. And you have to save the, they were so poor, they only used the egg whites to make the pasta. And they would save the egg yolks to make something else, because, of course, the yolks can do a lot of things. Anyway, Pasta Grannies is on TikTok now. And on mainstream TV, I have not much to recommend, except that I do enjoy Andrew Zimmern. You ever watch Andrew? Does these weirdo... they're not even weirdo anymore. I think the show is called Something Destination.
Yeah, they've calmed it down. It used to be really weird food, and now it's just weird, not as quite as weird food.
Well, I have to say that Andrew, who I do not know, has way better producers than the guy who's on CNN on Sunday night. What's his name? Stanley Tucci.
Yeah.
Because Stanley Tucci's first series, the first episodes, got so much wrong I couldn't watch it after a while. And, of course, my friend said, well, you just know too much, Arthur. Well, maybe I do, but you know that doesn't mean they shouldn't get it right. However, Andrew gets it all right. And he, by the way, Andrew does New York, neighborhoods even in New York, so I can, and in places that I know. So if he goes to a place I know, and I think he got it right, then I'm going to believe all the places I don't know. Whereas with Stanley Tucci, I don't know. I'm not watching it this season. I'm too busy cooking from TikTok. So here's what my project of the day is. It's not a well, besides the dough, the TikTok dough, I want to make Dan noodles.
You know, I can't believe it.
You love Dan noodles?
Yes.
I do too.
I never knew of them until about a month and a half ago.
Oh, really? So now you can't get enough?
Oh, I have it at least once a week.
Okay, there you go. So I order it in, of course. But the fact is, and the places that I order in from don't make Dan noodles all that well. And it's an easy thing to make, according to my TikTok feed. And there, if you go on TikTok and you put Dan in the search engine, you're going to come up with, I don't know, at least a dozen different recipes. But the one that I'm going to make, it seemed to me sensible and easy, and the only thing I don't have in the house for it is is noodles, Chinese noodles. I might go out this morning because I know where I can get them close by. But anyway, you can make this with spaghetti. I don't know, what does your Chinese restaurant make it with?
You know? It looks like a form of a thinner form of lo mein. Okay,
right. Yeah. Right. Actually, just this morning on TikTok, I saw somebody was using ramen noodles. You know, you can buy those packages of ramen and just throw away the seasoning thing and use the noodles.
You can also buy on Amazon, type in ramen noodles, and you can just buy the noodles by a lot of different manufacturers.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure you can, too. Yeah. Also, you know, not as convenient as going around the corner, though. So, and that's, by the way, we now have, I complain about my snobby supermarkets in my neighborhood, and the one that's like a normal one is a bit of a walk, but I do it because I like it. But a new one, a new normal supermarket has opened around the corner where the old but horrible normal supermarket was, and I've only been in twice, but it's extremely well organized, which is nice. And but I have to say, two neighbors of mine commented about the prices were high. This is my theory. It's a brand new supermarket. It's not even open a week yet. It's a week today. Everything has been stocked on the shelves just within the last couple weeks. So everything in the store is at a new price, at the new normal price. And you go to a long-standing supermarket, they're still going to have food on the shelf that has the old prices. So it's not going to seem so expensive, but believe me, it's all turning over, and it's all going to be like my new one. But I don't know if they have. They do have spaghetti on sale this week. My favorite Checo supermarket brand, and so I bought stocked up on that, and I'm going to make it with that. So here's the deal, Marshall. You're making two different seasoning mixtures. One goes on the noodles, and one goes in the meat. Do you have yours with the pork on top?
Pork.
Yeah. So for the pork, so for a half a pound of pork, you want a tablespoon of rice wine. I don't know if you have that in the house. I keep these. These are basic Chinese ingredients. A tablespoon of rice wine. If you don't have rice wine, you can use sherry. Dry sherry is best. If it's a little sweet, it's okay, too. Two tablespoons of light soy sauce. If you only have regular, don't worry about it. A half a tablespoon of dark soy sauce. Now, just to say, if you're using regular soy sauce, two tablespoons, you don't have to bother with. You just add a couple drops more. You don't have to use the dark, and which you might not have. And a half a teaspoon of pepper. My recipe says white pepper, but I favor black pepper usually. But I do have white pepper. I'm going to probably use it in the end. And a half a teaspoon of five-spice powder, which I do keep. I do have in the house, and mine is less than a year old, so I'm thinking it's pretty viable. You mix all those things together, and then you pour it over the half pound of ground pork. You knead the seasonings into the pork and let it stand at least 15, 20 minutes. But while you're letting it stand, you make the sauce that goes on the noodles. And this recipe calls for a quarter of a cup of chili oil. Now, I have store-bought chili oil, and it is not really as hot as you think it is. So you might want to use the full quarter cup that this recipe calls for. On the other hand, if you're a little afraid of the heat, why don't you reduce it to three tablespoons instead of a quarter? And you blend the chili oil and a quarter of a cup of soy sauce, another liquid, into two tablespoons of sesame paste. Now, you might not have Chinese sesame paste, but you might have tahini in the closet, in the cupboard, and that works perfectly. And if you don't have that, you can use peanut butter. Use two tablespoons of peanut butter, and then if you have some sesame oil, add a few drops of sesame oil to give it that sesame edge. And a half a teaspoon of that five-spice powder again. And one of the reasons I like this recipe, it has a very minimal amount of sugar, a half a teaspoon of sugar, and then and a lot of garlic. Four large cloves of garlic, finely chopped. You mix all that together, chili oil, light soy sauce, sesame paste or tomato or tahini or peanut butter with a splash of sesame oil, a half teaspoon of five spice and a half teaspoon of sugar and garlic. Mix that all together. That's your sauce. But yes, with raw garlic. You know, some people cook the garlic. I don't. For me, it's fine this way. You boil up a pound of noodles. You put them into that sauce and toss them until they're coated, and you top it with the pork that you have cooked in a hot pan until it gets well-cooked, actually a little crispy. Put that on top of your noodles. Garnish with sliced scallion and, if you like, chopped peanuts, and feast. Does that sound like your...
Yeah, they don't use ground pork, though. They use really thin sliced pork, little strips of pork.
Mm. That's another way.
But I found it about a month ago. I decided to try it, and it's really good.
Oh, no, it's wonderful. Well, I like spicy food, first. And second, it's pasta. Second, I like spicy food. And a lot of these, I must say, I've been learning on TikTok that a lot of these Asian noodle dishes are really just about the sauce. They're all the same noodle. But in fact, one of the noodles that I want to buy and play with is udon, which are thick Japanese noodles. And I always like the texture of udon. So I think, in fact, don don with udon could be very good. The other thing, you know, now that I'm back to eating carbohydrates, I'm making all my favorite carbohydrate things. Like last night, I had egg noodles with the pachis and butter. But I made earlier this week kasha varnishkis. Do you know kasha varnishkis?
God,
did I
yeah.
already say this?
No, but I do know, of course.
We've eaten it twice in the last week, mainly because I had leftovers, and it reheats extremely well. But kasha, an interesting word. It means cereal in Russian. It doesn't just necessarily mean what Eastern European Jews mean, which is the seed or groat of buckwheat. Now, buckwheat groats, I grew up eating buckwheat groats because I grew up in an Eastern European household. And so we ate this fairly regularly. Now, we might have had kasha itself, that's the groats, just as a starchy side dish to some meat or other. But the elaborate version was kasha varnishkis, which means it's made with bow tie pasta. And in my case, the way I make it, with a lot of onions, a lot of fried onions. So, you know, some morning when I need to stand by the stove and I fry up, you know, a pound of onions, 3 cups of onions, I think kasha varnish. Because I think a few other things, too, that starts for a few other things, like mujadara, which I know I talked about a couple of weeks ago. That's rice and lentils. It also starts with frying up a lot of onions. But what I do with the fried onions that I make for kasha varnishkis is I deglaze the pan after I've fried the onions, and that flavorful water at this point, it's just water, becomes part of my liquid to cook the kasha. And to cook kasha, now I only had, and I wanted to use this up. Kasha, by the way, stays in your pantry for a couple of years at least, doesn't it? It does have the germ, which can go rancid, but I've never experienced that. This kasha was not fresh out of the box. By the way, every supermarket sells kasha, and it comes in whole grain, cut medium, cut large, cut fine, and the fine you would use for stuffings, like you make a kasha knish or whatever. Mine was not so fine, but it was finer than I usually make. And so 1 cup of kasha requires 4 cups of liquid, and so it does increase in volume a lot. So you fry up a lot of onions. And then to make the kasha, because you want it to be separate at the end, you scramble an egg and pour it over you 1 cup of kasha in a hot skillet and keep turning the kasha in with the egg until, and it's all going to clump up. And until the kasha separates again, becomes, you know, individual grains, and it's fragrant. You can really smell the nutty buckwheat groats. And at that point, you put in your liquid 4 cups of whatever, preferably some broth, and then the water from, if you're making the onions, you know, just before you cook this, you can deglaze the pan and use that onion water too. Salt. Let's not forget salt, unless you're using a salty broth. And then cover the pan and cook it over medium-low heat until it all puffs up and gets tender, and that doesn't take very long at all, like maybe 10 minutes. By the way, that's a good reason my mother and grandmother made kasha often. It was a very quick thing to do. They didn't do the onions and the varnishkis, the bow tie pasta, except for, you know, a special day. By the way, many people these days think of that as a delicatessen dish. Yes, they sell that in Jewish delicatessens. However, we never did. We never bought it. We always made it. And one of the ways I remember eating it a lot was just as a side dish, but when my mother made a pot roast or a brisket, all the juices or sauce from the brisket or the pot roast, whatever it was, went on top of the kasha. It was, to me, that was better than mashed potatoes. Not to my father, but to me, it was better. I just love kasha. I love the nuttiness of kasha. I did go to the Soviet Union 30-whatever years ago, before it was Russia, and they served kasha for breakfast. You know, we'd be in these, in those days, in-tourist hotels, which catered to the tourists, and they would have a breakfast buffet, and it was always, because it's a breakfast cereal. It could be a breakfast, you know, put cream on it, put sugar on it. It's a breakfast, and very, very nutritious, kasha. It's high in fiber, it's high in B vitamins, a healthy grain. One of, you can consider, by the way, gluten-free. So those of you who are looking for, you know, starches that are senza glutine, without gluten, you can look to kasha. And as I said, it's sold at the big brand that's sold in most supermarkets is Wolf's, which is an excellent brand. Here in Brooklyn, where we have so many Russians and Ukrainians and other people who eat kasha, you can go to some stores and they actually have huge bags full of kasha. You know, you buy a 5-pound bag of kasha. Because in your family, you probably eat it every other day. But we go to an Azerbaijani restaurant. Now, kasha, or buckwheat groats, is not Azerbaijani. But because they cater to so many Russians and Ukrainians at this restaurant, they have kasha as one of the starch choices you could have with your meat. I always laugh about that. I guess I'm still laughing. one of these days, I have to make you a good pot of kasha varnishkas.
Yeah, I've heard about it. I've never had it, but it's one of those things I would like to experience, to be honest.
Well, when you grow up in Brooklyn, it's like part of the woodwork. It's not unusual at all. But I did serve it to. By the way, I've invited a friend who's from Colombia, who loves pasta. To come and have kasha varnishkas, because he's married to a Jewish woman and she's never made it for him, and he thinks he knows he's going to love it. So, and as everybody says when they eat one, oh, a lot of fried onions makes it. So that's it. I'm trying to stay sane in these insane times.
My favorite thing on TikTok is there's this one chef. And he plays these. Some of these people make these incredibly stupid recipes, and he plays them and he comments over them.
Oh, I should find him. Who is he?
I don't know, but he's hilarious.
Well, I did go to, you know, there are such things as TikTok recipes, and they're really mostly really stupid recipes that have gone viral. But it just shows you where the taste in America is.
Yeah, he also reviews some really great recipes, but he loves to pick out some of these.
When you find out how to find him,
I will let you know. I'll email you.
I'm glad to hear you're on TikTok. You know, people think it's only for kids. It is not only for kids. It can be very educational. Here, I just clicked on it just to see what was there, and it's my Italian lesson. There's a woman here who gives very good Italian for beginners. Now, I'm not a beginner, but it's good review for me. And for instance, today she's showing you how to use the word faccio, which means I make. But it doesn't just mean I make. Like you say, faccio una domanda means you ask a question. So faccio is used in an idiomatic way for us in Italian, and she has a whole lesson on this. Very interesting.
Well, you know, you can filter out the garbage for you or following. You use following, and the things that you're interested in are there.
But right. No. It's an amazing world. Yep. And I have to say, a lot saner than the real world. I mean, really, I can take Italian lessons. I can take French lessons. Oh, here's one. I love this guy. This is a gay couple who own a ranch. I don't know where. They own a farm. It's not really a ranch. And they're raising goats. Well, one of their goats gave birth to 3 or 4 kids, but didn't have enough milk for them. So one of these guys is feeding them, is bottle feeding the baby goats. So I never experienced a baby goat. And they are really frisky.
Yes.
So anyway, you know, it's amusing and interesting, both.
I just heard the goat.
No, that wasn't. That was a little boy cooking, making hot dogs with Nana.
Okay.
I'm going to shut this down now because it's addictive, too.
Okay.
I get teased because I can spend a half an hour on TikTok. But then again, it's the best Dan Dan noodle recipe I've seen.
All right.
And it's even demonstrated. So, yeah, that makes it even easier.
All right, Arthur. Great.
I'm not doing it myself. It's been suggested that I go on TikTok, but no, I'd rather be an audience than a performer.
That's right, because you also get TikTok haters, and it's not worth it.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's not worth it.
No. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Arthur.
Everybody have a great week.
Okay.
Stay calm.
All right. Bye-bye. Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, here on Robin Hood Radio. You can find Arthur, of course, at robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand. Click on Arthur Schwartz, the food maven.
Underwriting support for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, Hillsdale Home Chef. More information, 518-325-7000, hgshomechef.com.